Trend number 7, inflation remains a non-issue. Many Americans assume that inflation is rising. They fear that the recent increase in commodity prices will lead to higher finished goods producer prices and then higher consumer prices. This fear is intensified because people tend to notice when prices go up for products they buy most often. As economist A. Gary Schilling points out in a recent commentary, such widespread fears of inflation are understandable. Historically, inflation is a wartime phenomenon when government spending is huge, while deflation reigns in peacetime. Still, the nation suffered a uniquely long 60 years of war, which started with rearmament in the late 1930s, was followed by World War II, which promptly gave way to the Cold War that was augmented by the War on Poverty. So most Americans have never experienced anything but inflation, which they believe is the way God made the world. However, such selective application of recent history to the future inevitably leads to bad decision-making. This is particularly dangerous when the real threat to our economic health would be letting the undercurrent of benign deflation turn into a riptide of malignant deflation like that which crippled Japan in the 90s. Let's start with the most obvious potential source of inflation, soaring commodity prices, especially for oil. The worriers who expect commodity prices to ripple through the economy with earthquake-like ramifications are missing an important point. There is a tremendous amount of value added between raw materials and finished goods, by labor, transportation, packaging, capital equipment, and so on. As a result, even a 100% rise in raw materials prices typically increases finished goods prices by only about 7%. For example, a loaf of bread contains only a few pennies worth of wheat. And this relationship is falling further as goods contain less in materials and more in intellectual content. A century ago, steel was a major good. Producing it takes a lot of iron ore, coking coal, and limestone. Today, semiconductor chips are similarly important, but they require a little silicon, plastic, and fine wire. The rest of their value is brain power. This year, geopolitical risks and other factors have pushed up the price of crude oil to roughly $50 per barrel, and gasoline at the pump followed with a vengeance, leaping 40% from December 2003 to a peak price of more than $2 per gallon, largely because of the lack of refining capacity in the U.S. The spike of this frequently purchased item has convinced consumers that inflation is rampant, even though gasoline only accounts for 2.7% of consumer outlays. The most widely publicized inflation metrics also contribute to this exaggeration. For example, a congressional study found that the consumer price index was biased upward in several areas. First, since the index has fixed weights, it doesn't account for the tendency to buy more of what's cheap and less of what's expensive. When apple prices fall and orange prices rise, consumers buy more apples and fewer oranges. In contrast, the personal consumption deflator is weighted by the actual volume of purchases in the quarter in question. This is an important reason why the personal consumption deflator records lower inflation than the CPI. Second, the group of retail stores sampled monthly in the government survey of selling prices changes slowly over time. As a result, rapidly expanding discounters like Walmart are underreported, while dying full-list price mom-and-pop outlets are overweighted. This explains why the public and many economists are starting to worry about inflation. But it doesn't explain why the trend's editors are so certain that inflation will remain tame and, moreover, deflation will remain the underlying force that must be managed in the coming decade. To understand that, we need to analyze the fundamental global economic trends that are in play and how they will affect prices in the United States in the coming years. With that in mind, we forecast the following 5 developments. First, global excess capacity should keep American business pricing power in check. This, in turn, will maintain steady pressure on labor costs. Second, the Walmarts of the world are another important factor in keeping inflation low. Their lower costs and lower prices will allow consumers to keep getting more value for their money. Third, robust productivity growth will be promoted by the ongoing burst of adoption of semiconductors, computers, telecommunications, the internet, biotech, and other new technologies. This will not only lead to substantial quantitative improvements in terms of lower cost per unit, but will also lead to often overlooked qualitative improvements in each unit sold. As the Sunday Telegraph reports, the reason for this remarkable prospect is that the fundamental forces which have revolutionized price behavior, such as the intensification of domestic competition and the spread of globalization, are still in full spate. Meanwhile, aggregate demand has still not managed to rise sufficiently to absorb the increase in global productive capacity. One consequence is that the threat of deflation, which loomed large for markets in the middle of last year but seemed to disappear altogether this year, is anything but gone. Excluding food and energy, inflation is 1.7% in America, 1% in the UK, and 1.9% in the Eurozone. If the world economy should really run out of steam, then the deflationary threat will reemerge. Fourth, we expect consumer spending growth to moderate considerably, especially since the one-time after-tax income leaps due to the initiation of tax cuts are history. Similarly, the big bulges in defense and homeland security spending are probably over. Rising interest rates will bring rationality back to the housing market and virtually eliminate cash-out refinancings. Higher energy costs will become, in effect, a tax on consumer incomes. The resulting slower pace of consumer spending growth will be offset by accelerating business spending on capital equipment, structures, and inventories. However, this is unlikely to be strong enough to sustain rapid growth at the rate we've seen in 2004. This moderated but sustained growth will avoid overheating the economy, so this is not likely to be a trigger for inflation. And fifth, the money supply does not appear to pose a threat. Economist Milton Friedman's assertion that inflation is always and everywhere a monetary phenomenon is good to remember as the United States faces increasing prices for some goods and much debate about how sharply the Federal Reserve should restrict money supply growth. The money supply in the past year has grown less than the nominal GDP and has been far from inflationary. In fact, the deflationary forces that have been apparent since 1998 and 1999 are still hard at work, leading to an era of mild 1% to 2% annual deflation rates. If managed wisely, this will be limited to the good deflation of new tech-driven productivity increases and excess supply, as was seen in the U.S. in the late 1800s and 1920s, rather than the bad deflation of deficient demand experienced during the Great Depression and more recently in Japan. The fundamentals all indicate that the Fed has done a good job up to this point, and we see the current rise in inflation as being merely a brief uptick within the longer disinflationary trend of the past 23 years.
Thank you for joining us this month to explore the latest trends and the ways in which they will impact your business, your career, and your life. All of us here at Trends invite you back next month when we will focus on more of the trends that are now emerging to shape your future.